Welcome to Lectionary Bites, a podcast for the busy pastor, the bogged down student, and the curious biblical scholar. Each short episode features different professors and students from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, narrowing in on an insight or two from the assigned scripture readings from the week. We hope these bites can support your sermon prep, spark new ideas and connections, and help you meditate on God's word throughout your busy week. Lectionary Bites is brought to you by the Hasse Library on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. The Hasse Library, inspiring theological discovery.
All right, and welcome to Lectionary Bites. My name is Kendall Davis, and I have my conversation partner for today.
My name is Christian Einertsen.
And then I'm a STM student in exegetical theology right now. And Christian, what program are you in?
I'm working on the PhD in doctrinal theology right now.
Excellent. So today we're going to be discussing the Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday in Lent. So Lent 5, year C, Old Testament, which is Isaiah chapter 43, verses 16 through 21. So this is an interesting text. I found was really interested by the use of water and how he's kind of recalling Israel's history and applying it to them. So I think that's something that we'll talk about. But could you go ahead and read that text for us, Christian?
Absolutely. It goes like this. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise.
This is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
So yeah, so that the image and motif of water is really strong in this passage. That was one of the first things that I was struck with. And we'll probably end up talking about baptism at some point.
I'm sure.
I'm going to try to avoid it, but it's going to happen. I find that's the best way to deal with water in baptism. You try to avoid it, and then sometimes you get sucked into it anyway. But anyway, so this first part, you have him talking about the Red Sea crossing in the Exodus. The Lord makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty water. So that you have this image of the kind of the chaotic waters of the sea kind of there, and it's preventing Israel from escaping, and then God makes a path through them. Mm-hmm. So the water is this force of death, mm-hmm. That then God makes a path through the waters of death so that Israel can pass through. But then you also have Israel's enemies, the chariot and the horse, army and warrior, being destroyed by these waters. They're extinguished, quenched like a wick. I love that image. I'm thinking of like a candle being just like submerged in a bucket of water, just the way that it just goes out instantly, kind of just a faint kind of sizzle.
Yeah, no, it's a fascinating image. And it's really, it seems like what's going on here is kind of a microcosm of what you see in a lot of the Bible, right? Mm-hmm. And it's language about water. This is very common things that are just kind of boiled down into this one text, I think.
Oh, yeah. And you get it like in Genesis, that's all about God kind of pulling up the dry land from the waters and preventing the water from kind of encroaching on the dry land. I mean, this is what the flood is about, too.
Yeah.
It's the waters coming back over the land and kind of a reversal of creation. So this image of water as this kind of force of chaos and death, it's interesting how he's pulling that in to talk about and interpret the Exodus. And then I think this is really interesting. The image of water then transitions to being an image of life.
Yeah.
So, you know, Isaiah is kind of talking about this future hope of exile. That's something that the people are kind of facing in their near future, but he's also still holding out this hope to them. And he talks about how he will make a way in the wilderness, just like he made a way in the sea. But now it's with a river in the desert, a river that brings life and water to the desert wilderness that Israel would have to pass back through on their way from exile. And so here, water makes a path again, but it's in a different way. Here, water is a force of life that brings life to Israel and brings them kind of on their way on this pilgrimage back to Zion.
Yeah, and this is another big biblical theme, right? Of water as kind of a life-giving thing. You can think of examples all over the scriptures where that happens.
Yeah, so it's I find that just there's just kind of so much kind of potential, like kind of sparks ready to go, just with the way that water being used as an image of death and water being used as an image of life. Mm-hmm. And also how he's comparing the hope of return from exile and interpreting that in the same kinds of terms as the Exodus.
Yeah.
And you see again that all over the scriptures when Israel finally entered the promised land, the water of the Jordan River parted as well. And so you find these things kind of repeating and future events, further events in scripture being interpreted and retold in the terms and in the images of earlier events. It's really, really fascinating. I believe the exegetes would call this a typology.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
But it makes it really rich for preaching.
It does.
You know, when you have all of these various biblical sources that you can kind of draw into, you're not just limited to this one text, but there's kind of the whole witness that you can pull from in your homiletics.
Yeah. So I think if I were to preach this text, I'd have to look at my preaching schedule in the future. Maybe I am actually preaching this text, we'll see. But I'd be interested in exploring, I mean, first of all, kind of just like unpacking that. Because I think especially Isaiah is one of those texts where like you hear it and then you're like, what is he talking about? It's hard. But I'd be interested in exploring this idea that God does the same sort of thing again and again. That God's work for his people is just a repetition. It's like in a song, like they'll have like the bass line or something at the beginning, and then it just repeats again and again throughout the entire song. And there's something about God's saving work for his people is that just repeats again and again. And a great example and very apropos to this passage is in the Transfiguration account, Jesus' work is talked about as an exodus, which is not a way that you would think about talking about the cross and the resurrection. Like none of that looks like Exodus.
No, yeah.
But it makes sense when you think about it, that there's a way in which Jesus is like Moses, kind of this leader who leads God's people out of the danger of the powers of death and sin and destruction. And so there is a way in which it is like the Exodus, but you have to see it that way first.
Yeah, well, and that's kind of the power of this language of typology that you brought up earlier, right? Whenever you're dealing with typology, you're dealing with this idea that you're trying to bring out that God does things the same way. The history of salvation maybe doesn't repeat itself, but it often does rhyme.
Yeah, there's something fundamentally the same, which I think is helpful in drawing together these different parts of the scriptural witness. Like people have this feeling that like the Old Testament feels really different, like God seems angry or meaner, or even there's kind of a feeling of separation between the way things seem to go in the New Testament. Like Jesus is running around doing miracles, the apostles are doing miracles, and all this like exciting stuff happening. And it doesn't look like that in our time. And so I think this is helpful to speak to that kind of feeling, that kind of situation. There was a no, like God is doing the same thing. And even in individual lives, even in this congregation, it's still the same thing. And maybe this is where you go to baptism.
I was about to say that the water imagery is going to take
us
right to
really
the present
does,
tense.
It really does.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's a way in which even us today, we're enfolded into the same sort of thing. What would be really fun is to maybe kind of like try and write like the next stanza to this kind of poetry of Isaiah. Like what would it look like for Isaiah to retell the work of God in his church in these same kinds of terms and images? That would be something interesting to explore.
Yeah, no, that's really fascinating. And of course you have, like you mentioned, there's the New Testament witness, right? There's things like Jesus talking about living water or the waters of baptism. And then, of course, that brings us all the way up into the present with our kind of baptismal reality. So you can kind of account for all of that in your preaching and in your kind of understanding of Isaiah.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it's fun stuff. It's exciting when you get a text with these rich images and like there's so many directions you can go. The tricky part sometimes is just narrowing it down. As far as resources that I would look to kind of explore some of this further, I mean, obviously, Isaiah commentaries would be a good place to go. But to kind of take a little bit of a different angle, something different I might do, we talked about how there are other passages in Scripture that make the same kind of move a lot. I would be interested in looking at some commentaries on some of those passages. So like I'm thinking especially of the Psalms do this a lot, where they retell the Exodus. And they kind of apply it to Israel's situation in the present moment. So that would be interesting to look at some Psalms commentaries on that. thinking of Seleska's Psalms commentary, which is brilliant, would be one I would go to. Also with this image of the water going to the desert and creating life. You see that in Ezekiel.
Yeah,
that's really huge one. I mean, it just goes on for chapters and chapters. Mm-hmm. And then also Revelation picks up this image from Ezekiel as well. Yeah. And so I'd be interested in looking at commentaries that talk about those passages to see if they kind of give kind of more kind of fodder for reflection on these kinds of images as well.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of exegetical and homiletical hay to be made out of all those.
Yeah. And then another thing when I was looking at resources, I thought it would be interesting. I'm centering on this image of water. And so I thought it would be interesting to not just look at commentaries, but also like, is there a work that deals with this image? Like just the image of water, because it is so multivalent and everything. I did find one in our catalog. It's a rather academic work, so I'd have to see how helpful it is. But I'd take a look at it. It's called Thinking of Water in the Early Second Temple Period. So talking about the period after the exile. So Thinking of Water in the Early Second Temple Period. It's a collection of essays by a guy named Ehud Ben Zvi and Christoph Levin. So that would be one. I haven't got a chance to take a look at the essays, but that would be another kind of strategy that I would be interested in taking to explore this theme and see if they have some interesting things to point out as far as looking at from the perspective of this particular image.
Yeah, that sounds really helpful.
Yeah. Any other reflections on this passage or kind of some of the themes or its application in preaching that you were thinking about?
You know, I was really struck by the relation of this text specifically to the Ezekiel passages that you mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of my favorite Old Testament passages, is the water flowing down out of the temple and making life through this desolate region of Judea that stretches all the way down to the Dead Sea, right, where nothing can live. And then the waters from the temple bringing life out of the Dead Sea. I think Isaiah is playing on really similar images here.
Absolutely.
And I think that there's a lot that could be done with kind of the comparison between those two things and just kind of reflecting on the significance of God bringing life where there is no life for us as Christians today.
And it's just begging to be applied to, like, through baptism, life where there is no life. That is, like, you, your heart.
I wasn't going to say it, but yeah, you know, that's exactly right.
Yeah, no, that's so powerful. Well, thank you, Christian. I'm sure we've hopefully given some people some good stuff to think about with this passage.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
If you enjoyed Lectionary Bites, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Facebook so that you don't miss a single episode. This podcast is brought to you by the Hasse Library on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. The Hasse Library, inspiring theological discovery.